Will you pray with me? God of grace, that is our prayer, that you would create in each of us a clean heart by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that is our prayer even now as we turn as your people to these words in Scripture. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Hear then the word of God from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 6. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever." This is the word of the Lord. In Montana, there is a national monument called Pompey's Pillar, or maybe Pompey's Pillar. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, but it's a rock bluff. It towers above the Yellowstone River, rising about 150 feet. It's this sandstone face, and if you travel there, you can actually climb up to the top of this rock monument. It's not too hard of a trail, I don't think. And a certain section of that rock, you will see an inscription. It says, W. Clark, July 25th, 1806. The inscription is from William Clark. He paused there on his journey across this nation with his partner, Meriwether Lewis. And they'd stopped there for a day to hunt and to rest. And Lewis climbed up that rock face and he scribbled his name in the rock. I remember when I was a boy, I think I was probably about 9 years old, I wrote a letter. It was a "to whom it may concern" kind of letter, although I don't think I used that phrase at that time, but it was basically a letter to future generations to let them know that I had existed. I don't really know what I put in the letter, but it basically said Jeff, a boy named Jeff, lived in Boulder, Colorado, and I had written on a piece of notebook paper with pencil. And then I went under the deck of my family home. We had this kind of tall deck, and you could get under there. It was this perfect spot for a boy. It was damp, muddy. And I dug a hole, and without putting that piece of notebook paper in anything, I just put it in the hole and covered it with dirt, hoping for future generations to discover my existence. Now, a couple weeks later, I went to check on this piece of posterity, and much to my disappointment, it had already decomposed. So why did I write that letter? And I think the answer is probably the same for why William Clark scribbled his name in the sandstone. It's basically to say, we were here, we existed. And don't all of us want to in some way carve our names into the sandstone of time? Because we have this distinct feeling, don't we, even though we try and cover it up, that ours is a mortal life. That ours is an ashen life, and that we are going to die. And so we're desperate to write our name in time because we know that the cement is drying, don't we? Or to be more accurate, I think the cement is curing. I was using that image with a group of men one time, and this man came up to me, a chemist or engineer, and he said, "Cement doesn't dry, it cures." It's really kind of a pain to preach to men sometimes. So we know that the cement won't be wet forever, and so we want to, in some way in our lives, put our handprint in there, write our initials. We want to be known. We want to be marked. We want to make a contribution, and we want that to endure. And I think we do all of that actually because of this problem, this ashen problem with which our foreheads will be marked in really just a few moments. It's really the main problem of existence, isn't it? This mortal life. The prophet Isaiah keenly sensed that problem, and that sense he has is at the heart of this passage. And this passage is really a conversation between God and Isaiah. So a voice says, and this is the divine voice, "Cry out," meaning, "Isaiah, preach, share the good news. And Isaiah does something that we don't often do, or at least we think we don't often do, although I wonder if we actually do this subtly and unaware. Isaiah interrupts God and actually confronts God and argues with God. He says, "What shall I cry? Everyone's going to die. All men are like grass. Their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass is going to wither. The flowers are going to fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely all people are grass." Isaiah knows this problem of death, and he interrupts God, and he has this objection. Really, you want me to preach this eternal word to this temporal, mortal people who are going to die? It's a reasonable, I think, objection from the prophet. It's an objection that I've felt, I must admit, as a preacher. This past September, I was speaking, presiding at a memorial service. It was in Lafayette, Colorado, in the cemetery there. It was this perfect fall day in Colorado, maybe 60, 70 degrees, blue sky, the white-capped peaks with that first fall snow. And I came to preside at this service. I didn't know the gentleman who'd passed away. I know his name was David. At some point, he'd been a Presbyterian. I was available, a Presbyterian pastor. So I went to the cemetery, and I met David's wife and his children, and the funeral director was there doing what funeral directors do and orchestrating the service. And the first part was the military honors. And you've all experienced that, a really profound moment, the precise unfolding of the flag, refolding of the flag, handing it to the widow, words of gratitude for the service of her husband, and then the playing of taps. So all of that occurs, and then it ends, and the funeral director turns to me, the pastor, and is kind of trying to transition the service, and he says, "And now it's time for the religious aspect." And that phrase caught my attention, even in that moment, and I kind of tripped on it in my mind. The religious aspect. What does that even mean? And what was I supposed to say? Well, I said something. That's what pastors do. I don't know if I indeed brought the religious aspect. And I don't really know what effect my words had on the people who were gathered there. But I do know this. All of those people in that cemetery in Lafayette, Colorado, are going to die. As am I. As are you. We are an ashen people. And it is a problem. And actually, yes, we do try and cover up this problem by in some way inscribing our names on that sandstone that we call time. That's one of the ways we cover up the problem of death. There are other ways, by the way. Another way is the pursuit of pleasure, happiness, the good life. That would be called hedonism. Another way, just to use another ism, would be nihilism, meaning there is no meaning, and we cover up the problem of death with that, or some mixture of all three of those, and maybe even some others I'm not mentioning. The point is, we don't like this problem, do we? And so we cover it up in some ways. And Isaiah is right. It's hard for us, this ashen people, to receive this eternal word of good news. So yes, this is a reasonable objection. And notice the patience of God, really God's humility, that he listens to Isaiah's objection. And in fact, affirms it. God says, yes, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but, and here is this conjunction of grace in three letters. But, says God, the word of our God stands forever. Tonight is about receiving that good news. And I don't have any directions for you. There's no three points of application. You don't have to do anything. I just want you to receive that good news. That yes, you are dust. Yes, you will die. But the word of God stands forever. We can receive that word of good news, that word of grace, not just because God has said it, but because God has lived it. God in Jesus has taken on a human form, has taken our shape, our existence, has lived a human life, has been tempted as we are, has died, and then has risen from the grave. God has stepped into our ashen existence. Because God has done that, we can receive these good words, this good news, this but, the word of the Lord stands forever. Our worship team is going to play a song, sing a song. I'd like for you to listen to the words of this song and let this be an opportunity for reflection, for prayer, to receive this good news that yes, we are covered in ashes, but the word of God stands forever. That word of God is named Jesus. He died and was raised to new life. And all we need to do is receive that good news. After the playing of this song, we're going to receive the imposition of ashes. And I love that phrase. It is an imposition. It imposes on us this reminder. You are going to die, but, and you'll hear these words, the word of God stands forever. So just a few instructions about that. When this song is over, we'll invite you to come forward, and Cindy and myself will be at the front here with these ashes, and you can come down the center aisle, you can go around the side aisles, and you can receive these ashes either on your forehead, or if you prefer, you can receive them on the back of your hand. We're going to put a little cross of ashes on you, and then you can return to your seat. But this is all you need to do, is just receive this sign and receive this word of good news. But, the word of God stands forever. Let us pray and then we'll listen. God of grace, we are an ashen people, and we receive that sobering word, but we receive that alongside this eternal gospel word. But you remain forever, O God. And so, Lord, do what you do. Make something beautiful out of us, out of dust. This we pray in your name.